For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org.
All right, yeah, so my story is that I have two grown kids. They're 27 and 25, and also my husband and I made a plan when we were young to have become really part of our community and try to open our house as much as possible. By the way, I'm really talking about hospitality today as it is like opening your house. Not, there's lots of other ways to talk about hospitality, but I'm just going to talk about it that way. So we made a plan to really try to sink into our community and get to know people and open our house. And so we did lots of things, like we were Girl Scout and Boy Scout leaders for our neighborhood, and we hosted our junior high Bible studies that our kids were in, and we hosted our high school Bible study, and we hosted a high school Bible study for 7 years, and then we took a little break, and now we're hosting again, even though our kids are not part of that, and many other things, which we'll kind of talk about, you know, lots of ways to kind of open up and let people into your house. But my real burden today is to help you guys to get a vision for this idea that you can love and be hospitable, and that it's one of the best things that you can do for your kids to be able to see that, and you can model that all the time from the time they're infants until the time they graduate from high school and actually beyond. So that is what I hope that, you know, I know a lot of you guys are here and you have little kids, and we'll talk about that, but I hope that you'll get a vision for just, you know, continuing this your whole life, and what a cool thing that can be for you and for your family. Here's a few pictures of my different stages of hospitality. My, you know, my Girl Scout troop, some kids in our home church that we were just in, and how they dumped found glitter in our basement and dumped it all over the floor and then had it all over their faces and hands. My high school years, middle school years, and then hosting swim team spaghetti dinners, which was another thing that we did. So those are just some images of what, you know, kind of like, those are the images to me that sort of like motivate me too, because I see, like, here's these people who are engaged with each other in my house. Why is hospitality important in our culture? Well, one reason is, here's a quote, only 27% of Americans feel they belong to a group of friends, and 24% report they can find companionship when they want it. Additionally, 1 in 5 Americans rarely, if ever, feel close to others, and only about half, 53%, report having meaningful in-person social interactions with friends or family. And so one reason that it's important is, oh, whereas in the past, I believe we tended to be a society that was more geared toward hospitality, there was a day in our culture where it was really common to just see in your neighborhood, like, all the kids running back and forth between houses. That's just not actually the way it is anymore. And so it's super important, because you have these people who don't feel connected, and those could be your kids too, who grow up not feeling connected. And you can play a role in helping them to connect. Also, here are some quotes from different people who feel like they had experience with families who did show hospitality to them. So here are some examples of why it's important. This family stood out like a beacon of light in our neighborhood as an intact, loving family, while the majority of the neighborhood kids came from broken homes, and in some cases without a father figure. They opened up their home for us neighborhood boys regularly for bonfires, dinners, or simply to hang out. I got to experience God's love through these times of fellowship. They create a safe environment for conversation, fun, and spiritual discussion. And they showed interest in us, and they cared less about themselves and their home than they cared about us. And those are quotes from people who feel like they had the luxury of being engaged with different families growing up and the impact that they had. That's why it's important for that kind of love and that kind of connection. It's also important to our families because it has a lasting impact on your children. Our children get to become part of a larger community, which is just really a great opportunity for them in many ways to develop relationships and to learn to love. I like this quote. It says, "Hospitality is the key to new ideas, new friends, new possibilities. What we take into our lives changes us. Without new people and new ideas, we're imprisoned inside ourselves." And I just think about how we can, I mean, we all have different tendencies, but we can sort of be so scared and wanting to kind of build walls up to protect. But really, the impact of that sometimes can be we're just like walled off and imprisoned in our own way of thinking, our own ideas, without really having the benefit of rubbing shoulders with people who are different, who think differently, who bring in new, you know, solutions and ideas to things in our lives. And then also, it's important to our families because God values hospitality. Hospitality is a way to represent the great love that God has for people. The Bible says that God loves everyone and wants to have a relationship with them. And this is a great picture of why it's important, because if he loves us, we can love other people. Here's a few verses that I think have been meaningful to me. 1 Peter 4, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint." Woo! It's pretty tough. It doesn't mean that we don't have our days, right? But it's a high bar. But the point is, you know, let's move toward sharing the love that we have with other people. Let's grow in this way. Leviticus 19 says, "The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God." Another cool picture of how God loves all people and wants them to be able to be loved by others. And then Hebrews 13:16, "Do not neglect to do good or to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." And this is part of God's heart. He loves people so much, and he loves when other people show love and hospitality to their friends, to their neighbors, even to sometimes people they don't like, their enemies, even more. He's pleased with us being able to learn to love other people. So, here's my question. What is challenging about hospitality? What's challenging about opening up your house? Yep. Giving up time, totally. I mean, that is like a rare commodity that we have, right? When we open up our homes, it means we're actually setting aside some stuff that we want to do for the sake of someone else. What else? Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh, man. I meant to take some pictures of my carpet. But yes, giving up control of how your things are treated is very challenging. Not everyone who comes into your house has the same, not just that they don't have the same exact philosophy, but also just having people in your house is bound to cause broken things and spilled things. And what, were you going to say something? No, okay. That's right. Yeah. Right, totally. I think so many people, we all, honestly, I don't know anyone who doesn't struggle with that. Like feeling like it has to look a certain way in order to be able to let someone in my door. Any other thoughts out there? Those are good. Right, you are. You're opening up your home is vulnerable. They're in your space. They're going to see things about your life maybe that you don't really want, you're not ready for to share with them. Yeah, completely. Ruth. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely working through differences like that can be tough. And that is, you do tend to, everything in marriage is like that. You tend to come with your own idea of what's the norm, and then you match up with someone who has like a completely opposite idea, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, maybe there's something, well, first you pound on the table and say, my way is right. And then you hopefully, start to realize like, okay, maybe there's different ways, but that's hard, learning how to work together to figure out what you want to do. That's good. Right. Right. So many questions. Yeah. Or I'm afraid to, sometimes I'm afraid to tell people my rules, and then I'm like, but then I'm mad because they're jumping on the couch, like, yeah, there's this, I mean, it's really, and that's part of the vulnerability too. It's just like, I don't, maybe this kid is hard, or just like on any day, any child is hard. And, there's that thing of how do I actually work this out? That's good. Those are great, you guys. Lindsay? Yeah. It is. And I think, all that stuff is like, I'm not going to be able to answer all those things today, to be honest. But what you just said, chaos, that word, is, that strikes fear in our hearts a little bit. And also, it's actually true that when you do open up your home, to some extent, it does open you up to a bit of chaos. Just more than one extra kid, one extra family. But then multiples, and it can be, it can be really challenging. So I think those are all the things that we'll look at roadblocks in a minute. But I like this quote also, which is, the most natural thing in the world is to neglect hospitality. It's the path of least resistance. All we have to do is yield to the natural gravity of our self-centered life, and the result will be a life so full of self that there's no room for hospitality. We'll forget it. We will forget about it, and we will neglect it. I mean, the truth is, it's just easier, right, to say, I mean, all these, I'm not ready for all these extra problems. So I'm just going to, because already your life is hard if you have little kids. So it's not like you're saying, oh, I'm just going to sit back and eat bonbons. It's like you've already have a little bit of a chaotic life if you have little kids at home. So it's easy to neglect this. So I have the same things that you guys said as the roadblocks, and maybe you guys even said better ones. But that idea of overcleaning. I have a backhanded compliment given to me, which is like, I have friends who say things like, man, I just love how, I just wish my other friend could see your house and see that it's okay to have people over when your house is not perfect. And they're actually saying it like a compliment, but I'm like, oh, right, that's right. My house is not, definitely not perfect. But the truth is, it really is something that holds us back, and it really is one of the lesser important things. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but we can focus on that as being a picture of ourselves, and it's just not. Things do get broken. I have a really messy carpet right now. I had our front storm door smashed completely. I've had coffee tables broken. My couch currently has a broken arm. Just all these different things. I've had wine glasses broken, and just name it, and I have had those things done, and it's true. It does happen. If we open up our house, we are going to break things, and they're going to get destroyed. Also, we are busy. And I think this analysis, kind of what some of you alluded to too, like, am I going to be able to control these kids? Can I relate to them? Will people have fun? Am I cool enough to hang out with the, you don't think that about little kids, but that's something that comes into play later Will I or my kids be rejected? There's just all this mental stuff that is vulnerable when we choose to open up our houses. And adults and children can both be really difficult and annoying. Fact. I think the most powerful way, and something that will kind of run throughout this whole talk, is the importance of our mindset. Our hearts are only going to be changed if we start to think about this in a different way. If we only focus on what is going to be hard and negative, we probably will neglect hospitality. But if we can start to focus on some of the reasons why it's significant for our kids and for us to be able to do this, it can start to change our hearts too. A lot of times our hearts follow our minds. And then as we start to give, actually, our hearts start to turn too. It's a really interesting thing that happens. So just what hospitality is not, and you guys have talked about this a little bit, but it's not entertaining with an emphasis on cleaning. My kids used to, like, when I would start cleaning, sometimes they would say, "Is someone coming over?" But I also have a friend whose kids would say, "Please no cleaning today." You know, so this cleaning, it's not the most important thing. Entertaining says, "I want to impress you with my beautiful home, my clever decorating, and my gourmet cooking." Hospitality says, "This isn't mine. It's a gift from God, and I'll use it as He desires." When hospitality is described in the Bible, there's zero instructions regarding home decor, menu, or table setting. That just doesn't exist. So there is nothing. The fact is actually, well, we'll talk about what hospitality is, but it's also not done with the hope of receiving something in return. That's another thing that hospitality is not. It's not a thing like, well, if I do this, then I'm going to get something good, or we just can't think about it that way. And then what it is really just showing love. It's really actually more simple than we think. It's inviting people into our homes and our lives and our hearts. It's authentic and genuine interaction. That's what people actually want. Just authentic, genuine friendship, including laughter and bad attitudes and tantrums and mistakes. All people have these things in their lives. So the idea that you would be hospitable and not have that experience is just, it's just not possible. It's a love response to how much we've been given. And I like this quote too. Hospitality is simply love on the loose. I just think if we can think about it like love and not entertaining or a perfection, it just has a different feel. Love is being kind to someone. It's inviting them to come along. It's not being perfect. And really, who wants to be around someone who's perfect? That only reminds us of how we fall short, which we all do. It doesn't matter how you show hospitality. There's no one right way to do it, no list to check off, but all forms of hospitality have two things in common: a kind heart and a helping hand. And that is, like, if we can get our minds thinking that way, I think it's really great to think about, you know, what people want is a place to hang where they're going to be accepted. They're going to know that they're cared for. They're going to know that you're interested in them. And that is going to trump so many things. So what about you guys? When you thought about, when you have opened up your home or you've thought about it, what has been motivating you to do it?
So
that's cool.
That's
such a sweet, that there is just, if we all just left here and said, ordering pizza and hanging out, you know, with friends, that picture is all we want.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't experience
that outside of that. Yeah, I think that's so true. If you guys, I don't know if you could hear that, but just bringing people in your home actually creates a depth of relationship that you just don't get running into each other at the grocery store or, you know, doing something outside. There's something about that that, you know, I think creates that kind of relationship. It's good. Yeah, so that's a good, that's actually a good motivator, especially in the winter. Come on over. I can start a fire, but yeah, so sometimes we have, you know, motives that are like, you know, they're actually also beneficial to us. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, our kids can be great motivators that way, if they're, especially if they want to have friends over. That's really great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's how I feel. And, you know, we're probably all at different stages with that. Like, some people are just like, I'm trying to have one person over. But what you're saying is sweet, in that I think, you know, it's a little bit contagious when you start to do it. Right. Good. Yes. It's true, usually. Yes, that's a good point. Okay. Right. That's excellent. That's kind of what I'm going to focus on. Like, the things that you guys said are kind of tied to what I'm going to focus on, which is the reason, one motivator. I mean, there's lots of reasons to do it, but one is because it's good for our kids to do it. And it's good because it teaches them what we value. It's good because it teaches them the importance of people. It teaches them how to share, which is really important. And also it teaches them, like you're just saying, Diana, about the joy of serving together as a family. And these are like lasting things that we can impart to our kids. So first, oh, here's a quote I have from a friend of mine who she and her husband just started hosting a weekly Bible study. But I think you'll see in the quote some of these same things coming through, whether it's something you're hosting weekly or if you're just having someone over for dinner, these same things are coming through here. Hosting home church has been a blessing for our entire family. Our kids enjoy helping with the preparations and love having their friends over on a weekly basis. Jim and I are thankful that we both get to attend each week and really enjoy making our home a comfortable place for our home church members and guests to gather, learn more about God, and build deeper relationships. Which kind of ties together a lot of the things that we're saying. You know, kids actually like to take part in serving together, and it's cool to do that as a family, and it's great to be able to provide a place where people can develop deeper relationships, and just these things that you guys are all pointing to can happen when we choose to open up our home. So the first thing that I want us to talk about is that they see our values and how important that is. You know, our kids, they reflect our attitudes and actions. They actually watch us a lot. I know that's scary, but true. I remember when I when I was pregnant with my second child, and my first child was like, I don't know, 18 months old. He would go over to the toilet and go, and, you know, he, of course, wasn't potty trained yet. What is the toilet for but for mom to barf in it because I'm pregnant? That's like his idea of what, you know. So they watch us and they know, like, the things that we value. So, not that I valued barfing. You know, so we need to think to ourselves, you know, what are we emphasizing as the most important thing? How do we respond when we have an opportunity to have someone over? Do we, you know, furrow our brows and just be like, no, not today? Or do we, like, actually contemplate it? Not that there's anything wrong with saying no. How many things do they see us doing that have to be quote-unquote right before we're able to allow someone in? These are just things, you know, none of this stuff is in any way to put anyone under a pile. You know, our kids are watching us. That's not what I mean. I just mean we do need to think about, like, what we're imparting to our kids. And this is a cool topic to think about that. As we show them, you know, that we're most interested in having a totally clean house instead of people, it means something to them. Your example molds their perception of relationships and hospitality. And that's interesting what you said, Ruth, about you came from a house that was open. Both my husband and I were really fortunate to have moms who already modeled that for us. So both of our moms were people who were like, open door policy, just one more, what does it matter? Both of them took in high school kids who didn't have parents at the time who could care for them. You know, oddly, both my husband and my mom had both done that. So I should say my parents, but our moms were more the driving force of that. And so our, you know, what we do now, and some of you guys have that in your past and some of you don't, but what we can choose to help our kids get a perception of what it means to be, to open up our homes. And children can see how we can live out God's love in a practical way. You know, the idea that we've received much, that can be kind of, you know, just an idea. But as it's matched with like actually showing, you know, like giving to people, it can mean more to our kids in a practical way. Also, it's good for our children because it models for them the importance of people. And, you know, this is, I feel like this is something that if we can help our kids understand to value people, it really can make a difference in their lives. They can have more healthy relationships. And there's, I have a long list of things here, but it's the idea that we would highlight community and relationship versus things. You know, there's a, people often say that phrase, people are more important than things. And it's really true, actually. So if we can model that, that's awesome. Also, as we open up our homes, we can model for our kids this idea of having an outward focus and widening our circle. This is something my kids talk to me about a lot after, you know, as grown-ups. They say they were emphasizing, you know, what you guys always widen the circle of people who were coming into our home. And I think that is key in that it teaches our kids that we can love people who are different from us, who have different struggles than we have, who come from different backgrounds than we have. And this all comes into play as they're trying to make their way through the world and get along with lots of different people. And what a sweet thing to be able to model that in our own homes, to be able to be a welcoming light for people who come from all different kinds of backgrounds, who have struggles that we're not, that we don't have, and yet are people and they're valuable. And how can we learn to show our kids like how important they are? And then this is very much, I think, tied to the idea of helping our kids learn to forgive versus these other ideas that come so naturally to us and to them of fairness and rights and protection. I'm not saying we need to put our kids in unsafe. This, I'm not talking about unsafe situations. I'm talking about our tendency to be very, very demanding that every kid treat our kid right, that everything go fairly on the playground every day, that, you know, these things that we kind of put in high, and I mean, I understand, like, I mean, I'm saying this like someone who struggles with this all the time. Even with my grown children, I still get mad when I feel like they've been mistreated. And I'm like, mama bearing it over to try to talk to someone about it. And then I'm like, hold on. Well, usually my husband's like, hold on. Like, what? Maybe they'll learn something in the situation. Or maybe they've learned how to maneuver this situation themselves, hopefully. You know, but the point is, like, we all know, I mean, you guys know yourself, but we have a tendency, I think, to be super afraid. So there's that protection thing. We have a tendency to demand our rights, and we have a tendency to be, to demand fairness. And this world really isn't fair. It really is not. And so, like, you know, this is something you kind of, you got to work out with your own, you know, in your own situation, how you work through this. But I'm just putting this idea out there as like a goal to think about forgiving instead of demanding. Our kids can see that modeled, and that can be a cool thing. It also, opening up our homes shows them and teaches them how to treat people well. And that's a sweet thing. That's a simple thing, but you know, how to be nice to people when they come in your house, how to look them in the eye, how to like take somebody's coat, how to, you know, like things that seem so small, but they're actually just courtesy things that are really great for them to learn. And then it teaches the importance of relating, including conversation and listening. And I think this is, again, I just feel like this idea of the importance of people is so valuable. Like, if our kids can learn how to listen to someone else while they talk, I mean, that makes a huge difference in their lives. If they learn how to have a conversation, I remember when my kids were little, early elementary, we'd sit down to dinner, and my son would say, "All right, who's going to go first? How was your day?" And then we would all, you know, like, apparently that's what we did, that I didn't realize we did until it started being mimicked by my kids. But, you know, if we can teach our kids how to listen to other people, how to ask questions, how to have conversation, I mean, that's a lifelong skill that's going to help them in every aspect of their lives. And also, I think the importance of people, and I just always loved this, especially about my mother-in-law, who had 11 children, by the way. So, of course, there was always room for one more. But this idea of, like, you know, always being like, I mean, what's one more? Just bring them on in. I just like that slogan in my mind, like, if you do have an extra person who needs to tag along or something, I mean, what's one more person? And it teaches them we can have an inviting space. And then it teaches them about sharing, and sharing actually is a way that we practice loving other people. So in this case, learning to love includes generosity. What a sweet thing for our kids to learn. Sharing their space, their toys, their games, and their time. Actually hard for some kids. I actually had one child who was very, I don't know what word to use, but reserved. And this child of mine would say things like, "Do we have to have people over today?" And this child learned that we, you know, that's what we do. We have people over a lot. And it was very challenging on, okay, his space, his toys, his, if you guys know my kids, you already know who it is. So his, you know, he liked things to be a certain way. And he had like really intricate Lego models. And so we did, this is just a little side point, but like we did say, like, you can put your this and this and this in your closet and shut on the shelf and shut the door, you know, so that because people would, because kids would come into his room and they'd like destroy everything. And then that would be kind of heartbreaking to him. And of course, we were trying to teach things aren't that important, but there is a case for trying to also give them some safety for even things like that that are, you know, going to take them hours to put back together or something like that. But I think it was one of the best, I mean, having a home that had many people in it, even though it was really hard, was one, I think if he were here today, he'd say that was one of the best things that we did, because it wasn't his natural inclination. Also, learning to love includes putting others' needs before theirs, and that this is, you know, something that's important for them to learn to defer to the guest. Like, what do you want to play today? I mean, my daughter had friends who came over and always wanted to play video games. My daughter hated video games. And so she would, you know, they'd work out a deal. Okay, we'll play Mario Kart for 15 minutes, and then we can play make-believe outside or whatever. But, you know, like, they have to learn how to negotiate doing some stuff that their friends want to do, which is really good for them. Learning to be flexible, definitely. And I think ultimately holding less tightly to material things for the sake of relationships. That's what they learn when they watch. our house being opened up. And I think that what's super important is to help them see that these are deliberate choices that we are making. It's not just some random, we're just going to have people in and ransack our house today just because. It's like they know the reason that we're doing this is we're choosing to love other people. And this is part of it. And that means that when things go bad, it's still a deliberate choice that we've made to open up our home. And then finally, going to the point that was made, that it's good for kids because they learn to serve together with the family. So opening up your house is often a family event. Everyone can participate. You can work together to host. Children can play important roles in helping others feel comfortable. So like from the time they're little, there can be things you can help them do, tasks that they could do, whether it's preparing or whether it's when the guests get there. When they're older, obviously, they play an even bigger role because they're their friends usually coming in. And you can prepare together. You can actually clean together or discuss, hey, what do you want to do today with your friends when they come over? Help them get the mindset. If you know your kid struggles with a certain thing, talk it through beforehand, knowing that they might still struggle, but at least they've thought about it. Teaching them to ask questions, that was a funny thing that my friend Emily Cornett did, like the first time they had people over. Recently, she had her kids get ready to ask questions, and they were asking so many questions that, you know, eventually they had to be like, okay, that's enough questions now. But, you know, it's a great thing to teach our kids how to do, and they can prepare activities. But the bottom line is, what's great about serving together is that you can delight in other people together, and you can also work through difficulties together. Again, if our kids could get those two things down, where they delight in people and where they work through difficulties, they're going to be a step ahead for every other area of their lives, because they're going to have difficulties and they're going to have opportunity to be with people. So I think my feeling about this idea of how it's good for kids is that what I've seen is that these values actually can become our kids' values, which is really cool to see. And it's hard to see when you have little ones, but like when they're my kids' ages, it's so cool to see some of the results of that in their lives. So for example, with my kids, one thing is, and your kids will have this too, where they knew that we were going to welcome their friends. Like they knew it was an ethic we had, come on over. And so they became quick to invite people over and still do. They saw generosity and they became people who are generous and held more loosely to things. And they'll still want to come over to your house as older people, and they'll still want to bring their friends, which is also super sweet because you develop relationships with many people along the way, and it's very cool to be able to have those times together. And hopefully these values are sinking in a way that it becomes an attitude of the heart, where it's actually a true character development, where they're able to actually develop a love of hosting and becoming people who are generous and loving toward others. So how do you do it? And some of you guys already are experts in this, but if you aren't, or if you are and you want to get more that way, just start where you are and with a vision for how cool it could be to advance in this area. I think, you know, first of all, again, going back to the heart and the mind, we need to cultivate a heart attitude and ask ourselves, like, do we really believe this will be healthy for our family? What are my roadblocks? How can I sort of attack those. Kind of being honest with ourselves about what we actually think. And then always just start small, but be deliberate. So, you know, slowly invite other people over. You don't have to all of a sudden be like, like this person right here who's like, I have people over 1 to 3 times a week for dinner. So you don't leave here and say, I'm going to have people over 3 times a week for the rest of my life. You don't have to do that, but you can just invite people over. Start slowly. Share a meal with another family. Have a play date with 1 or 2 children. Again, you don't have to invite the whole class over. I was known at one point for having slumber parties of like 14 girls at my house. Sometimes my son and my husband would get a hotel room because they were just like, this is like way too much for us here. And it was really, actually at different ages, that is really more challenging than other ages, depending on the drama level. But, you know, you don't have to open up, you don't have to all of a sudden be like, I'm going to be hospitable, 14 kids over to spend the night tonight. No, no, no. Just start with, you know, 1 or 2 kids. Make things simple and inexpensive. Don't feel like you have to be like, I have to have the most cool stuff. And, but also I think this is important for the mindset, like confront the lies that you're believing, like be honest with yourself, like what are the things that are holding me back? What are my roadblocks? Am I worried about having a spotless house? Am I worried about how this is going to impact my time? That's a real worry. So how do you think that through so that you can work it out, so that you can do it? What are your insecurities? Have you kind of batted those around, like, and realized that still it's probably valuable to love other people even though you feel insecure about it? And then make a goal and put it on the calendar. That's what I just think is like being deliberate. What I mean is just, you know, if you think it's important, everything in our lives, if we think something's important, we just need to do it. And that means like making a plan and doing it. And learn from people who are good at it, but don't compare yourself to other people, please. Learn to be like, oh, that's a great idea, and adopt those things, but don't look around and say, like, I can't have people over because I'm not like so-and-so. That would be really defeating the purpose. So these are now a bunch of ideas, and these are things that stuck. These are things that my kids and their friends said when I was like, what do you think's important about hospitality? What are ideas that stuck with you? What did you like that we did? And things like that. One thing they said is good food. And this is like I've had some moms talk to me about this, not in this setting, but just, you know, talking about it. Like, what do I do? I don't want to have any junk in my house. Then I'm going to have people over. So, you know, that's a thing that you need to wrestle through yourself with your own convictions, what you're going to do. But I mean, kids like healthy food, actually. Especially young kids love fruit and vegetables, actually, usually. I know there's different ones who don't. When they get into the more like the high school age, you can just figure out things that work for having people over. Like what we would do is we would have always healthy food, and then we would have like pizza rolls. You know, like it's cheap, not that healthy, but they were, you know, growing high school kids, so we were like, I think this is not going to damage them for one day, you know. So that's something you need to work out your own conviction, but food actually is something that's important, at least according to my children. Definitely was important during the high school years, especially because both my kids were swimmers, and so their whole swim team would come over to our house, and they would be, like, ravenously hungry. Sometimes I did things like if I knew certain friends of my kids liked certain things, I would just make sure I had those things around my house. So like one friend of my daughter's really loved raisinettes, and I would just make sure I had some of those. Someone really likes spicy chicken tenders, I'd make sure I have some of those. And you don't have to do that, but that is a cool, if you have it in your budget and it is something you want to do, it is a way for also kids to feel loved, because they know that you know that they like something and you actually have it. They also said allow for fun without nagging. And this is another controversial topic, which is video electronics in general. And what my kids and their friends would say is not that you have to have unlimited, you can do whatever you want, but it's okay to have like some time where they're allowed to play Mario Kart or a Mario Party or something like that, where they're having fun together and then they're doing other things too. What this says without nagging is sort of like we can get kind of worried about things like this, so just kind of figure out in your mind like what are we willing to put up with, and then try not to get too paranoid and naggy about it when it's, you know, when it's like, oh, they've been doing that for 5 minutes, I need to tell them hurry up and quit or something like that. I know this is like a huge topic, and you guys, I hope you understand what I'm saying. You have to form your own convictions about this. I'm just trying to give you sort of like ideas that have come up because my kids have gone through all the years and things that my kids and their friends have said are helpful. Also, they said it's really important to be present. Parents to be present. Kids want to know they have limits and safety, but not controlling or hovering. And again, this is something to try to work out, but just, you know, put that in your mind. How can I be around my kids? How can they know I'm here, but not necessarily constantly like overseeing them? Now, obviously, if you have like 18-month-olds, that's another story, because that you do have to eagle eye every second. But I would sometimes, for older kids, I would sometimes, you know, read in the living room while they were like in the family room. Then I would come in periodically. They knew I was there. If I overheard something that I thought was a little worrisome, I'd listen some more, you know. One thing that they said was really significant is focusing on other people and showing an interest in them. That's what wins people's hearts, actually. If you are interested, another story I heard about a friend of mine recently with little kids was that she went down to where the babysitters were, and she like spent time asking each one a question and talking to them, and what an impact that had. Like, that's like how you build relationships. And so this idea stuck with my kids and their friends. Like, if you are interested in them, that goes a long way to developing relationships. And this is related to kind of trying to be relevant, which, you know, there's that study from Spotify that anyone over 30 doesn't listen to any music that they never listened to before. And, you know, if you have, I did teach high school for 32 years. So when my kids became high school students, I actually knew a lot about stuff going on. But my kids, they for a long time have bought my husband and me music every Christmas and birthday. That's kind of like what they do. They find new music they like and then they give it to us. And I'm not saying music is the only way to be relevant, but I'm saying, you know, it's good to kind of know like what's going on with them. What do they listen to? What do they watch? What TV shows do they watch? Things like that. It's good to know for your own self, but it's also good to know in terms of conversation. And then our kids and their friends also mentioned that our house was a really safe and good house to have open spiritual discussion, which had a big impact on them as well. And then I just think they said planned things are great and spontaneous. Being able to be both, like, we're going to plan stuff. Let's plan something for this weekend. And also being able to be like, go with the flow, like, hey, the whole swim team needs some place to hang out tonight. Can they come over? You know, again, you don't have to say yes to that stuff, but it's good to have a category for being planned and also being willing to bend. And then here's just all these things that you guys probably could name. These things that you can, you know, things that they remembered as being significant. Playdates and whole family, hangouts with whole families, neighborhood events where we maybe hosted other neighbors into our house, dinners and cookouts with people, school. If there were like some elementary school event, sometimes we would have people over after. Scouts, sport events, having people over before and after. Like I said, we hosted spaghetti dinners. We also had like team socials and hangouts at our house, bonfires, sleepovers. We had a thing for a while where every Friday night we were like, this is going to be our time. We're going to invite someone over, or we're going to do something with another family, or we're going to, for a while we did this thing where women did something, dads did something, and kids did something together. So we had babysitter for the kids, dads played poker, and moms went out to dinner. So things like that stuck in their mind too. Like that was cool for them, getting all the kids together in the neighborhood, and then we got to go out and have fun too. Also, like I said, junior high Bible study, after school hangouts. Many times we had students who just came over to our house after school, both elementary, from elementary on, it was a thing to come to our house. Oh, big breakfast. Big breakfast was at our house on Saturday mornings where and I still have some of my kids' friends who will say, when can I come over for big breakfast? Team dinners, like I said, bonfires, high school home church, after and before homecoming, prom, and other school events, team dinners, team hangouts, and movie nights. Those are just ideas. I mean, obviously, you guys got your own talents. You have your own kids with their own personalities. They're all going to have things that they like to do, craft day or, you know, whatever. We would have water balloon fight at our house, like in the summer after swim practice, kids would come over and water balloon fight. You know, you're going to have your own stuff that you have. But I just want to encourage you to think about that. Like, how can your house be a hub of activity? It is one of the sweetest things from my vantage point. Now that my kids don't live at my house anymore, it's one of the sweetest things that we ever did in terms of showing other people love, developing relationships, and modeling that for our kids. So there's tons of things beyond these. And if you ever thought about hosting a high school group or a junior high group, I really recommend that you do that too. I mean, seriously, if you did ever want to host a high school Bible study, it is an awesome way for at the high school age for you to still know all your kids' friends. Because, you know, what happens is when they're young, you know all their friends and their parents because it's like you arrange the play dates. And as they grow up, that becomes less. So, and I didn't mention like driving your kids everywhere in middle school. That's also a great thing to do. Be a driver. You hear so many things in the car. It's like they think you're not there or something. And you're like, you pick up all this information. But, you know, like the thing is, like, once they get to be in high school age, and especially when they start driving themselves, they're off doing everything else that they're doing. And so, like, if you continue to try to make your house a place that's welcoming to them, that's a really sweet thing. And that can include things like high school Bible study. I just want to close with this, John 13. John 13 is about where Christ is going to his death, and he says, I'm going to wash your feet to show you that I am a servant, and I love you, and I want you to do the same thing. And it says, I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. If you know these things, you will be happy or blessed if you do them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And that is the God that we have, is a God who actually loves and loves to sacrifice. And that is a thing that we can learn how to do for other people because he's done that. And that verse 17, we actually will be more fulfilled when our life is about serving other people. And there's just, I have this big, like, bunch of pictures in my house that's like all these high school students put their senior pictures in, like, along the way. So, I mean, some of them are big. Now you can see, like, a baby picture, but that's like my, when I look at that collage, I'm like, there's all these people who have been in my house and been able to partake some of this fun, you know, here. So kind of a sweet, that's a sweet picture. So, all right, questions, comments, insults? Yes. Thank you. I love that, and I'm so glad you said that, because I don't want anyone to leave here and feel like, well, that's too hard. What you've just described is not going to happen in my family because I have these hindrances, and some of you guys do have hindrances. And, you know, those can be more challenging, but true, we can also be creative. And, like, lean on some of your friends and try to help figure out, like, how you can work together or, you know, what can you do? And, again, small but deliberate. I mean, you know, not to be I don't want anyone to feel discouraged about that. And I think you're so right about being creative. It's not going to look, your hospitality is not going to look like everyone else's. Yep. Maybe you're not. I mean, maybe you are, though. Oh yeah, totally. I know. And when I was preparing it, I was like, should I differentiate between adult focus and kid? Like, I just said that thing, like, we got a babysitter for our kids in the neighborhood so we could go out with the women. So, like, there's different, yeah. I think there's all kinds of ways to do that, and I think people do go through stages, and I think sometimes you're going to be super kid focused and have less time with adults, and sometimes you're going to be like family focused, you know? Like the parents are over there with the kids, and yeah, I think there's a wide range, and yeah, it's what you're saying is good. I mean, I think we all go through. It is weird because your kids go through stages, so it changes what you do. When they're in middle school, sometimes you're just driving a lot, so like the idea of having your friends over becomes like, well, I could meet you for an hour and a half in between this and this and this. You know, it just, yeah, you have to roll with what's going on and make those decisions based on that. Yeah. Lindsay? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a huge topic, but what I will say is one thing just in general is that you can set limits in your house and be like, in our house, we don't, you know, I keep using stand on the couch, but actually that's a thing. Like when we started hosting a bunch of junior high kids, they just like came into our house and were like jumping on our couch or whatever. And we were like, wait, I'm pretty laid back, but I just didn't want people doing it. Our couch would break. But I think you can say what we did is certain things we just said, that's not actually something that we want you guys to do in our house. And that was kind of like our way, not like, you know, you need to do this or that, but just for a lot of things, you know, taking whatever it is, whatever you're, one thing that parents are afraid to do is set limits. You're allowed to do that when you have people over, and it's good to do that. So like, that's what I also work with parents who host high school groups, and we actually try to tell people, you can tell them no one's in the living room. That's not a room that you guys hang out in. You know, like it's okay. That's good for them to know this is what I'm, in this house, when I come in, this is what we do. And, you know, you can still be laid back to some extent, but have limits. I don't know if that's helpful. That's a huge topic. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's good. That's really good. Because when we do that, it gives them the idea, like, you know, you should just be more like me, where they use you as the negative example. Actually, I do want to end so you guys can just hang for a little bit before you have to get your kids, but I'll just pray real fast and then just thank you, God, that you're a God who loves, and thank you that just pray against any discouragement or thinking here that comparison or anything like that, God, and just pray that we would be able to think right about, you know, just what would be one step to take in order to love people better. Amen.
This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship and is copyrighted. You may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.